97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner, Bo Matthews.
Bo. Present.
Yes. How's it going, my friend?
I'm good. How are you, man?
Doing good. Doing good. We got to continue this cameo discussion. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that in the podcast exclusive today. Carl and I are trying to convince Bo to start a cameo account so people can hire Bo to
say anything.
Greeting videos in that deep Bo Matthews voice.
The dulcet tones.
Dance monkey. Yes. Dance monkey. Dance. Dance.
And for $100 a piece? Yeah.
What's crazy is, so when I found Cameo, and a lot of people may not know what it is, but Cameo.com is a website with A, B, C, D, F, E, F, list of celebrities, and you can get them, you can get Andrew Dice Clay to do a personal message for you. Now, it's going to cost you, but it's just so funny that these, you know, has-beens, if you will, Debbie Gibson's on there, and she sings a little bit to you, Frenchie from Greece, Didi Khan.
Didi Khan.
And it's adorable. She's like, hey, it's Didi Khan, old Frenchie here from Greece. You know, it's like, wow, to be known for one thing.
And it probably, did you guys start this conversation? Because I walked in off the air in the middle of it. Did you start with the Smokey Robinson? Is that what started this?
No.
Oh. No.
He was in down the rabbit hole already.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about Smokey a little bit later on.
Okay,
in the meantime.
We know people that are on
listeners,
it.
Listeners, yeah, listeners can go and Google Smokey Robinson's cameo appearance this week that has made such big news. I figured that's why you guys were talking about it. We'll revisit that later, though. Right now, let's start the show because
we
this
have a show
is indeed
do.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
We're already 3 minutes into it.
Yes. Joining us on the phone as we get started is our good friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, who starts every show with us. Aaron, how's it going, buddy?
Great. How are you guys?
I am doing okay. You should also start a cameo.
You can... Tony.
Yes.
You're the one with the whole brood that you need to put shoes on. My goodness, you should be doing it.
Yeah, nobody's going to hire me to do anything, though. That's the thing. See, you've got the voice. Aaron's got knowledge, actual knowledge. I've got nothing. So
don't say that. Let's have a little pep talk here, Tony. You are Tony freaking Colombo.
Okay. Well, that's all right. That's all
that
right.
That didn't help, did it?
No. So another crazy week, and we have the last few weeks, and I've been getting a lot of positive feedback on this. We have spent the last few weeks with Aaron kind of going through Joe Biden's website, Joe Biden's the Biden plan to end our gun violence epidemic. All of these policies that he has listed that he wants to put into place when he becomes president. And so Aaron, like I said, is the man with all the knowledge. And so we have been reading these policies out loud and sort of discussing them here on the show for the last few weeks. And even though we're like 3 or 4 weeks into this thing now, we're nowhere near the end of this website. I don't know how many more weeks we're going to do this, but I find it very fascinating and very interesting. And I know a lot of listeners do, too, because, like I said, I have gotten a lot of feedback on them. So if it's OK with everyone, I want to continue this discussion and continue to go down the Biden-Harris website and read these policies that they have that they plan on putting in place when they take over. I want to. There's a lot of things in here that reference things like the gun show loophole, or you know, they want to close the loopholes that people use to get around the federal background check system. And some of these terms and some of these things I had never even heard of. So here's another one I want to get Aaron's thoughts on real quick. It is close other loopholes in the federal background check system in addition to closing the boyfriend loophole. Do you know what that means, Aaron? What is the boyfriend loophole? I've never even heard of that. Have you?
Yeah, I'm thinking they're referring to straw purchases.
Okay, can you explain that?
So, yeah, straw purchase is when somebody comes in and buys a firearm with the intent on giving it to someone else.
So last week we talked a little bit about, like, if you want to try to, like, it's Christmas time, so people buying a gun for a Christmas present, is that a straw purchase then?
So that depends. So, okay. Like, if I buy my wife a gun or my wife buys me a gun for Christmas, we cohabitate. So everything that I have access to, she has access to. It's called marital property, right? So I buy a gun, we go through a divorce. You know, they're going to appraise what all the guns value at, and then they're going to divide them up equally. And if there's any disparity or any difference between them, then, you know, I'm going to have to pay my wife money, or she's going to pay me money, right? We're not really going to exchange dollar bills, but it'll be, you know, decided on that when they dissolve the marriage. And so we get a lot of that, you know, where you get dad or mom coming in buying first rifle or handgun for their son or daughter. You know, grandparents can do this, you know, where they grandfather comes in and gets, you know, grandson's first rifle. And this is a thing, right? I mean, this is guns are gifted. So really what
the shotgun that I have was my grandpa's deer hunting shotgun. It was one of my most prized possessions. That was, it was very important to him. And it's Beau, what I shot with when we went to the Joshua and Chamberlain Society event the other day. So, yeah I think that kind of thing happens all the time. I know it also happens with handguns, and I know that's a whole different story. But, yeah, the shotgun that I use all the time is my grandpa's old shotgun. It's a beautiful gun. It's, like I said, it's one of my favorite possessions on earth.
It's priceless,
but I got
it. What are you going to charge them if they say, we want to buy it back?
Yeah, but I got it.
What are you going to tell them?
Right, I got it gifted to me. It wasn't something that, you know, that I went out and purchased. So just illustrating that, Aaron. Go ahead.
When we're talking really about, like, the straw purchase and the purest of forms, it's, you know, I'm going to buy a gun and give it to you, Tony, because you're not eligible to buy a gun. And really, the eligibility isn't even a question. It's me buying it and giving it to you, and you not doing the background check. That's really a straw purchase. A lot of times when we catch it, it's because the individual is, you know, not the individual is really going to get it is disqualified. So, you know, there are signs. I'm not going to really discuss what those are. That indicate to us that it's a straw purchase, and we just refuse the sale, right? Because it is, if we recognize it as a potential straw purchase, we are not to complete the sale. So rule of thumb on there, like ATF says, if I've had a gun in my possession as a dealer, a gun in my possession for less than a year, if I want to give it to somebody else, they have to do a background check. And so that's just a good rule of thumb, you know, that the ATF has come up with for dealers that you should implement too if you're going to be, you know, buying, selling, trading guns. You know, if you had it for less than a year, then you need to come in to Southern Armory and have us do a transfer. We get both parties involved. We run a background check on the new party that's going to be taking the possession of it, et cetera. Now, I recommend it to everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're selling a gun to somebody else, get a background check on them. It's just good to show that you were proactive in doing this. So that's basically what I guess they're referring to about the boyfriend loophole, is the girlfriend is going to go buy the gun for them. But, I mean, it could be a coworker, it could be a cousin. You know, it could really be anybody doing a straw purchase. It could be just a random off the street.
I'm in the Joe Biden gun safety rabbit hole now on the website. And really the first sentence, I don't know if it's true and I don't know how to verify it. It says Joe Biden knows that gun violence is a public health epidemic. Almost 40,000 people die as a result of firearm injuries every year in the United States. Is that accurate? I don't even know.
No, it's not even close.
Right? I don't know. Fake news. I think the red flag laws, is what worries me most about what this plan is that he wants to put into place.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because we heard that, Tony, you brought it up a few months ago on this show, and it's really, it could be just a grudge with a neighbor. It could be a grudge with an ex or something like that. And they want to ramp that up as to an opportunity for you know, somebody that wants to get in your business to call the police, say they've got too many guns.
Yeah. At the beginning of the year, we were on this show obsessed with red flag laws. I mean, it was something that we were really trying to get the word out about and make sure people understood what they were and how dangerous they could be. But it's been a while since we've discussed red flags, red flag laws. Can you explain those, Aaron, for people that don't know what it is?
So actually, I think you could probably go back to like the first year we did this. I want to say like December maybe was the first time we discussed this. It's been, you know, a few years, but this has been an ongoing topic where red flag law kind of popped up after, I believe it was the Lakeland shooting. There's all these, you know, red flags that, you know, somebody should have called the police and reported him as a danger. And then it actually turned out that the family had done this, but the police were saying that, you know, they couldn't really do anything. There was no laws in the book. And so red flag law now is, you know, hey, I think Joe Blow with those guns is dangerous and you need to go get his guns, right? And so the police show up. They get a warrant. You don't even know this is happening, right? Mm-hmm. Joe Blow is completely clueless this is going on. And the police go and get a warrant, right? It's very one-sided. And then the cops come and get your guns, and they take them. And then you got to go to court and basically prove that you are, you know, not a danger, right? So American judicial, you know, the normal way of the judiciary working is you're innocent until proven guilty. Well, this is the complete opposite. You're guilty until you are proving yourself innocent. In this case, you know, not a danger, right? So it's weird how this is going to work in our society. And there are states that have passed this, and right down to, you know, family members having a disagreement politically, and that family member goes, I'm going to teach them a lesson, and then the cops come, and shots get fired, people die, and then the family members on TV saying, well, I just want to teach them a lesson. I didn't want the cops to kill them. And it's like, what did you think was going to happen, mm-hmm. right? You call the police. You have them show up at somebody's house at like 3 or 4 in the morning. He answers the door. They fire him because it is 3 or 4 in the freaking morning. And, you know, when he sees it's the police, he puts the gun down. And then when they say, we're here to take all your guns, and he's like, not happening, you know. And then they ended up shooting and killing. This was in West Virginia, I believe, or Maryland.
I think it was in New York. Yeah, it was a Thanksgiving argument last year. Yep.
Can I remind you guys of a conversation that happened in 2013 with President-elect Joe Biden? In a Facebook chat, he said, I said, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony here, walk out and put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
And that'll take care of everything.
Yep. He says you don't need an AR.
Right. This it doesn't sound like the same guy, does it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, double barrel shotgun, shooting two blasts in the air is probably a good way to go to jail.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
So,
yeah, exactly.
You know. That is not going to fly. Those are called warning shots. And there was a lady in Florida who gave a warning shot.
Yeah, remember that?
She got convicted of a felony and sat in jail for like 5 or 7 years or something ridiculous until the governor finally pardoned her.
Yeah, she thought I would rather fire a warning shot and not kill somebody or possibly kill somebody and resolve the situation that way. But that was actually not. I remember we had a whole long discussion about that. Yeah. That the warning shot thing is not something you can do.
That's Hollywood. There was a business owner out in Creve Coeur that, if you don't remember, about 5-6 years ago, had somebody steal something from his store. He ran out after him and shot in the air, and then shot at him and hit a couple of cars. And the culprits or the suspects got away, and they ended up crashing on Highway 40, and they were arrested. But that's Hollywood. That's Tom Cruise movie. Boom, boom, boom in the air. What is that?
Bullets go somewhere when you shoot them.
Exactly. Aaron, unfortunately, we've got to wrap up the segment here in a moment. But before we do, I want to talk about Southern Armory a little bit. What's happening out at the store?
Yeah, I mean, tons of guns coming in. ARs, ammo, a lot of high-capacity magazines. We even have some arm braces in stock. The DOJ is supposedly going to be releasing a letter declaring those, you know, illegal, like just like the freaking bump stocks. There's a ton of those out. That is a normal accessory that gets sold that has a lot of practical applicability or practical applications. So, you know, we're going to kind of watch and see what happens there. But we do have those in stock as well. You can swing by and see us. Special orders are always welcome. And got some suppressors coming in. I mean, it's just, you know, right now with the way we've set up our supply chain, things are pretty good. So come in, see us. We get a lot of people coming in the shop now going, you've got a lot of guns. We went other places and they don't have guns. Mm-hmm. And it's like, welcome. You know, been right. Working hard. So, that's it. So come in and see us. We're located 1 mile east of 270-44 at 9901 Watson Road. And you can find us on Facebook at Southern Armory. And then we've got the podcast that goes over the news, the Second Amendment News Podcast. And of course, SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
And that is the great Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, always appreciate the knowledge and insight, my friend. We'll talk to you same time next week.
All right. Looking forward to it, guys.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Don't go anywhere.
It's not too late to get the Razorback Armory if you have somebody on your shopping list that supports our Second Amendment. Well, we encourage you to go to the Razorback Armory store. Go to their website if you want to. Look around there, but then get over to the store in De Pere on Manchester Road, just a half a mile east of 270. Stop in. Jesse, Brad, and Kenny do a fantastic job. Maybe you know your, the loved one that you are shopping for just wants a specialized flashlight for their firearm, or they want optics for it, or just go in and get a gift certificate. Let them do the shopping. Yeah, let them do the work. That's also another way to do it. If you are shopping for a firearm for yourself, because, you know, my wife and I have a deal that I can buy myself one Christmas gift and she does the same. And if that just happens to be something from Razorback Armory, all the better. RazorbackArmory.com. When you go in, tell them you want your full service delivered, and they'll do just that. Tell them both sent you to Razorback Armory.
I love this song. All right. Hello. Hello, everyone.
Is that Mannheim Steamroller?
No,
it's Trans-Siberian
TSO.
Orchestra. TSO.
Another casualty of COVID.
That song is so cool. Yeah, you're right. Another casualty of COVID. That is correct. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
And my partner, Bo Matthews. In a few minutes, we are going to talk to our friend Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors and the Thinking Woodsman podcast. It is the first ever elk archery season in the state of Missouri right now, which I think is super cool. We had the first ever rifle season for elk in the state of Missouri a few weeks ago. And I want to talk to Tim about that, see how that has been going.
Why is that? Have they migrated
elk
here?
Numbers have finally gotten back to a strong enough number that they can do a very limited hunting season.
Oh, there was a moratorium.
This is a great conversation for Tim. So,
so I brought
I don't
want to.
Well, no, I just don't want to mess it up. Right. I believe that there was a big, elk were hunted to nearly the point of extinction, about 100 years ago. I guess for their antlers or something.
So Teddy Roosevelt said no more.
And so, yeah, so, but we have done such a great job of rehabilitating the elk population that we are able to do that. They're also talking about installing a bear season.
What?
In Missouri.
Wow.
So I wonder if the success of the elk season and how it went, implementing this new hunting season in the state, if that will have some influence on whether or not they decided to move forward with a bear season maybe next year or in the coming years. So that is exactly what we are going to talk to Tim Shelswick about. So
it's a tease. It's
keep
a tease.
It here for that. I think that Tim is also going to stick around for the podcast exclusive.
He is.
Just want to remind folks that we put out two podcasts of this show every week. We put out the show podcast, and that comes out on Friday, so you actually can take the show with you through the weekend before it even airs. And then on Monday, we release the podcast exclusive, which is exactly that. It's an exclusive discussion that you can only get there on the podcast. And we,
this week about Cameo.
Yeah, sometimes we stick to the script and talk about Second Amendment and the great outdoors, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we talk about other things. And I know one of the things we're going to talk about this week has nothing to do with the Second Amendment or the great outdoors.
Well,
it's Cameo.
It could.
But maybe we'll do some more. If you haven't yet, if you're going to download that podcast, make sure you watch that Smokey Robinson video, which I thought started the whole Cameo conversation, but it didn't. But that's why Cameo has been in the news so much this week.
Can you describe what the Smokey Robinson video is?
Because I just have to see it.
No, I want you to be completely surprised by it. We'll play it for everybody in the podcast this week. So
is the audio great, or is it
the
just,
audio is great? The audio
but
is
the,
great.
The video doesn't have anything to do with it, or what?
I mean, the video. You don't need the video. The audio
Carl, is all you need.
I'm getting it.
He's getting it. So we will definitely talk about that. Want to remind folks about my friends out at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton. They are open year round. And if you are going to be doing some cold weather fishing here anytime soon, or you just want to buy some stocking stuffers for a fisherman in your family, or for you just want to buy some stocking stuffers for yourself, there's no better place to do so than Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, about a mile away from Fast Eddie's over there. Like I said, they are open year-round, and they have you covered for all of your fishing needs. You can learn more at BluffCityOutdoors.com. I wanted to, while we had a chance here, just to talk amongst ourselves, I wanted to read a couple of news stories, Bo, and just get your reaction to them.
Okay.
So these are Law and Order related stories, both of them. First, there's a new program in Seattle that gives a pass to first-time criminals and charges taxpayers for their crimes instead of the criminal.
What?
So here's an example. Recently, a business was broken into in Seattle. The criminals ransacked the business and stole products from inside of it. Since the criminals were being charged with their first felony, and it was a nonviolent crime because there was nobody there, they broke in the middle of the night. So, you know, there was no interaction with people. It was considered a nonviolent crime, even though they destroyed this business and stole a bunch of stuff from it. These guys are eligible for this new program, this restorative justice program is what they call it, which gives them a chance to not receive jail time and not be held financially accountable. The taxpayers, so the victims still need to be paid back somehow, which normally you charge the criminals. You did this much damage, you did this, you know, you owe these people this much money.
Instead of
the retribution being the responsibility of the criminal, it will be the responsibility of the taxpayers. So the taxpayers will pay for the crime, not the criminal. And if it's your first time, if it's your first offense, you could probably dodge any jail time. What do you think of that?
Well, in 2020, it makes perfect sense.
We're literally benefiting criminals at this point, right?
Absolutely. And this year, we have heard so many things that has just, like, our jaws fall to the ground. Just the fact that Portland was taken over, Seattle was taken. In America, this is happening, and you know what? This makes perfect sense. With the various lawmakers we have, it nothing shocks me anymore. I say that, and something's going to happen, and I'm going to be shocked. You watch.
Well, it just... You can't convince me that will make things safer and or better by saying, because what they say is, well, it's easier for the victims. The victims many times aren't completely paid back because the criminal doesn't have the ability to do so or whatever. So this way the victims will get paid back completely and quicker. I understand that. And if you want to talk about a way to make victims of crime whole faster, then I'm listening, because I believe that is something that needs to happen.
That's how it's supposed to work.
But it doesn't.
Exactly. I have an idea.
It doesn't need to be the full responsibility of the law-abiding taxpayers.
I have an idea.
Yes.
If you're 25 years old and you live in your mom's basement and you commit this crime, your parents should be the ones that are paying the retribution solely because they failed at raising you correctly to respect other people's property. So many people should have had a spanking when they were 3 years old like I did, and I pretty much walk a legal path. I'm just saying. But there's got to be some responsibility. It's kind of like in the military. When one person in basic training screws up, the entire platoon has to do the you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we've all seen stripes. We've all seen a Full Metal Jacket. When your parents don't raise you right, well, then guess what? Your fellow soldiers are going to straighten your butt out, and they're going to do it quickly and effectively. So if there's some kind of lien that can be put on the house they live in, if it's a parent, I'm saying that would be my idea.
So that's happening in Seattle, but maybe in Minneapolis, they are actually starting to realize that maybe these type of programs are not the way to go. Minneapolis lawmakers are now distancing themselves from the defund the police movement after $8 million in budget cuts to the police force has created what? More crime. So now all these lawmakers that put this policy in place are walking it back and saying that maybe they weren't that they didn't support defund or dismantle the police, although there's plenty of record of them saying that they do support those things. But now that crime is on the rise in that city, a lot of these lawmakers are walking it back. So it's unfortunate. I mean, you know, people like Sheriff Marshak and others that we've had on this show throughout the year have talked about how dangerous it is to put a lot of these defund the police programs into place.
Right.
And now, you know, it's starting to happen. For example, so violent crimes in Minneapolis have risen with over 5,200 violent crimes reported so far this year compared to just about 4,100 logged in the same period in 2019. There have been 78 people murdered in that city this year compared to 45 last year. So the numbers are staggeringly increasing in Minneapolis since the defund the police idea has been put forward there. So it's very sad that so many people have had to suffer, but it's exactly what many of us said would happen. So,
reaping, you know, what they sowing.
Yeah.
Here's the scary part. You know, Hollywood propaganda has been out there for decades and decades, you know, feeding us ideas, and we see these things. It just feels like the purge.
Yeah.
The idea of the purge is, you know, any crime you want to commit will not be, you will not be charged. It sounds just like that.
Right.
And it is a reality in some towns. It's crazy.
We got to go to break, but did we correct this on the air?
We did not. According to the CDC.
Last segment, we talked about Joe Biden's website saying 40,000 victims of firearms in the last year, and we weren't sure that number was true. But according to the CDC website, in 2017, 39,773 people died from firearm-related injuries in the United States. So it appears that number is correct.
Okay.
Thank
you for that.
Yeah, correct the record there. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors and the Thinking Woodsman podcast joins us. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. So as I hope you heard me mention in that last segment, if you need to fill the stocking of a fisherman in your family this Christmas, or you just want to treat yourself and fill your own stocking with some great stuff, make sure you go out and see my friends at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton. Bluff City is open year-round. I think they only close on Christmas, New Year's, and Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken. So they are there for you. It's not too late to go fishing. I was just fishing last weekend. Still a great time to get out there. As Mike Marfell always says, it's fishing season till the water's hard, and it's not frozen yet, so it's not too late to get out there. And stock up at Bluff City Outdoors. If you need anything for your tackle box, they have you covered. They're about a mile away from Fast Eddie's in Alton, and you can check them out on the web at bluffcityoutdoors.com. If you're going fishing, check them out, bluffcityoutdoors.com. Hello and welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner Beau Matthews. As I mentioned, we are going to speak with our friend Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors and the Thinking Woodsman podcast in just a moment. And Tim is sticking around for the podcast exclusive this week, so you make sure you check that out. Both podcasts go just about everywhere that you can get podcasts, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, but I recommend that you check out the radio.com app for so many reasons. You can stream the station 24/7 on radio.com, you can rewind live radio on radio.com, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. Just get the radio.com app, favorite the radio station, and then you have access to all of it. I need to correct myself. I mentioned earlier in the program that we were going to talk to Tim about elk season, and I had said that the first ever firearms season for elk in Missouri was a few weeks ago, and this week was the first ever bow season, archery season for elk in the state. But that's flipped. Archery season was a few weeks ago. This right now is the firearms season. And wanted to get Tim on to talk about that and other things regarding the great outdoors. Of course, anytime we talk about the great outdoors here on the show, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They are your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. Think of them for Christmas shopping. They're on Manchester Road, just east of 270, and you can find them online at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
Mm-hmm. And Tim Shelsvik joins us now. Tim, what's going on, dude?
Not a whole lot. How about you guys?
I cannot complain.
I have a question about elk hunting.
Yeah, fire away. No pun intended.
So was this, why was there a moratorium on elk hunting 100 years ago?
Well, elk were hunted pretty much to extinction in Missouri there at the late 1800s. And so there just were no elk to hunt. And the few that were remained were just not a sustainable population. So they shut down hunting. And that's, I think, back in 2013 is when this reintroduction program started through an effort between Missouri Department of Conservation, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and I think the Tennessee and Kentucky Departments of Conservation. And so that's why we're here today.
So, Tim, I know it's super limited on the amount of tags anybody can get in the state of Missouri. We had the archery season for elk a few weeks ago.
Correct me if those guys got blanked.
I was going to say, I didn't think anybody got one. So mm-hmm. far, depending on when you're listening to this, as we record it, there's still a few days left in the firearm season. By the time you're listening to this, it may be over or
one
just about
left.
To be over. As we record this, how has the firearm season gone?
Well, four out of the five guys that had tags have tagged out.
Oh,
so
cool.
those are pretty good odds.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of them were some pretty big ones too. One was a 6x6, or one was a 6x7, down on public land in Shannon County back on the 16th. So I guess yesterday, the 16th.
Yeah.
If you're the one guy
left that has an empty tag, how much pressure are you feeling right now?
Probably quite a bit. Because
he might have got one. He just said he got his limit. What is the limit? One?
Yeah, I think there's only five tags mm-hmm. total.
Wow.
Yeah, five total tags, five individual hunters out of over 19,000 people who registered in the drawing to try to get one of these five tags. So each one of those people kicked in $10. It was $10 just to apply. So that's a good chunk of money to the Department of Conservation. Just
yeah, good
for
them.
People
that's great.
Trying.
It's like getting one of those cars at an auction where everybody puts in $100.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So the guy, Bill Clark of Van Buren, Missouri, is the guy that has not tagged out yet. And I'm not doxing this guy because this is all information that's publicly
like
available on the Department of Conservation's website. He is the only guy that had a resident landowner tag. So there were four regular tags given and then one resident landowner tag. And this guy is able to hunt his own property. And he is not tagged out yet. So it's interesting. He's hunting private ground, but he's not tagged out yet.
Hmm.
So since you're the guy, we've got to ask the question, the migratory aspects of these animals moving in, I mean, how long have you guys been keeping an eye on it? And when when the Missouri Conservation Department said, okay, now we need to do something about it.
Well, the elk don't really move a whole lot here in our climate. They do have winter ranges and summer ranges out west when you're dealing with elevation. But here in Missouri, they really don't migrate a whole lot. They pretty much stick to where there's food and cover and water. And they've got all that stuff down in the Current River corridor down in southern Missouri where they initially started stocking them. So they're not moving a whole lot. But as the herd continues to grow, and I don't remember what the herd numbers are exactly, but as the herd continues to grow, you could expect to see them start to inch out of that part of the of Missouri and probably move north.
Tim, okay, Tim, real quick. So these animals were moved here from the West?
No, they're moved here from Kentucky and Tennessee.
Oh, okay. I thought you said, so you use the word stocking, like I would stock my pond, which I need to do, obviously, but that's another whole nother Oprah. They did move them here. they did move them here, though, to try and multiply.
Yeah, and I want to say like it was originally a herd of 50 that they brought over from Tennessee and Kentucky, and they added a few more, but most of the elk that we have in Missouri now, as far as I understand, are elk that were born here.
That's great.
Gotcha.
That's great. Yeah, I'm so glad that this has been so successful, and I want to talk to you more. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time on the show. We'll pick this back up in the podcast exclusive, but I want to know how successful the Missouri Department of Conservation has considered this season and if they've announced any plans about expanding the elk season into next year. So we'll have that discussion along with the very important cameo discussion that we're going to have in the podcast exclusive.
It's so important.
Yeah, Tim, only about a minute to go. Tell people how they can watch you on the 100% Wild podcast with Drury Outdoors, Thinking Woodsman podcast. All of that good stuff.
So anywhere podcasts are found, you can search for Drury Outdoors 100% Wild Podcast and the Thinking Woodsman Show. Find both my shows there. The best place to get all of our content, Drury Outdoors, though, is DeerCast. DeerCast.com on your computer, or just get the DeerCast app on your smartphone, and you got everything at your fingertips.
Yeah, absolutely. How much more – is there much more hunting season left this year as far as
– Yeah, our archery whitetails goes through January 15th. And then small game, I think squirrels close on February 15-ish. So there's still a little more hunting people can do.
I mean, you can't kill squirrels anytime you want?
That DeerCast, the DeerCast app, if you're going to be hunting, is a must. It is an absolutely incredible piece of, an assistance that you can take with you when you are hunting. Make sure that you get that if you're going to be enjoying the great outdoors. The DeerCast app is awesome. All right, we got to wrap up this week's show. We'll be back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. For Carl Middleman and Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Happy holidays, and we'll see you next week.
Merry Christmas. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
So as I hope you heard me mention in that last segment, if you need to fill the stocking of a fisherman in your family this Christmas, or you just want to treat yourself and fill your own stocking with some great stuff, make sure you go out and see my friends at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton. Bluff City is open year-round. I think they only close on Christmas, New Year's, and Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken. So they are there for you. It's not too late to go fishing. I was just fishing last weekend. Still a great time to get out there. As Mike Marfell always says, it's fishing season till the water's hard, and it's not frozen yet, so it's not too late to get out there. And stock up at Bluff City Outdoors. If you need anything for your tackle box, they have you covered. They're about a mile away from Fast Eddie's in Alton, and you can check them out on the web at bluffcityoutdoors.com. If you're going fishing, check them out. bluffcityoutdoors.com.
Hello,
and welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner, Bo Matthews. As I mentioned, we are going to speak with our friend Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors and the Thinking Woodsman podcast in just a moment. And Tim is sticking around for the podcast exclusive this week, so you make sure you check that out. Both podcasts go just about everywhere that you can get podcasts, Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors, but I recommend that you check out the radio.com app for so many reasons. You can stream the station 24/7 on radio.com, you can rewind live radio on radio.com, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station. Just get the radio.com app, favorite the radio station, and then you have access to all of it. I need to correct myself. I mentioned earlier in the program that we were going to talk to Tim about elk season, and I had said that the first ever firearms season for elk in Missouri was a few weeks ago, and this week was the first ever bow season, archery season for elk in the state. But that's flipped. Archery season was a few weeks ago. This right now is the firearms season. And wanted to get Tim on to talk about that and other things regarding the great outdoors. Of course, anytime we talk about the great outdoors here on the show, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They are your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. Think of them for Christmas shopping. They're on Manchester Road, just east of 270, and you can find them online at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
Mm-hmm. And Tim Shelsvik joins us now. Tim, what's going on, dude?
Not a whole lot. How about you guys?
I cannot complain.
I have a question about elk hunting.
Yeah, fire away. No pun intended.
So was this, why was there a moratorium on elk hunting 100 years ago?
Well, elk were hunted pretty much to extinction in Missouri there at the late 1800s. And so there just were no elk to hunt. And the few that were remained were just not a sustainable population. So they shut down hunting. And that's, I think, back in 2013 is when this reintroduction program started through an effort between the Missouri Department of Conservation, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and I think the Tennessee and Kentucky Departments of Conservation. And so that's why we're here today.
So, Tim, I know it's super limited on the amount of tags anybody can get in the state of Missouri. We had the archery season for elk a few weeks ago.
Got blanked.
I was going to say, I didn't think anybody got one. So mm-hmm. far, depending on when you're listening to this, as we record it, there's still a few days left in the firearm season. By the time you're listening to this, it may be over or
one
just about
left.
To be over. As we record this, how has the firearm season gone?
Well, four out of the five guys that had tags have tagged out.
Oh,
so
cool.
those are pretty good odds.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of them were some pretty big ones too. One was a 6x7 down on public land in Shannon County back on the 16th. So I guess yesterday, the 16th.
Yeah.
If
you're the guy, the one guy left that has an empty tag, how much pressure are you feeling right now?
Probably quite a bit.
Well, he might have got one. He just said he got his limit. What is the limit? One?
Yeah, I think there's only five tags mm-hmm. total.
Wow.
Yeah, five total tags, five individual hunters out of over 19,000 people who registered in the drawing to try to get one of these five tags. So each one of those people kicked in $10. It was $10 just to apply. So that's a good chunk of money to the Department of Conservation.
Just for
people.
That's great.
Trying.
It's like getting one of those cars at an auction where everybody puts in $100.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So the guy, Bill Clark of Van Buren, Missouri, is the guy that has not tagged out yet. And I'm not doxing this guy because this is all information that's publicly available on the Department of Conservation's website. He is the only guy that had a resident landowner tag. So there were four regular tags given and then one resident landowner tag. And this guy is able to hunt his own property. He is not tagged out yet. So it's interesting. He's hunting private ground, but he's not tagged out yet.
Hmm.
So since you're the guy, we've got to ask the question, the migratory aspects of these animals moving in, I mean, how long have you guys been keeping an eye on it? And when when the Missouri Conservation Department said, okay, now we need to do something about it.
Well, the elk don't really move a whole lot here in our climate. They do have winter ranges and summer ranges out west when you're dealing with elevation. But here in Missouri, they really don't migrate a whole lot. They pretty much stick to where there's food and cover and water. And they've got all that stuff down in the Current River corridor down in southern Missouri where they initially started stocking them. So they're not moving a whole lot. But as the herd continues to grow, and I don't remember what the herd numbers are exactly, but as the herd continues to grow, you could expect to see them start to inch out of that part of the of Missouri and probably move north.
Tim, okay, Tim, real quick. So these animals were moved here from the West?
No, they're moved here from Kentucky and Tennessee.
Oh, okay. I thought you said, so you use the word stocking, like I would stock my pond, which I need to do, obviously, but that's another whole nother Oprah.
They did move them here.
they did move them here, though, to try and multiply.
Yeah, and I want to say like it was originally a herd of 50 that they brought over from Tennessee and Kentucky, and they added a few more, but most of the elk that we have in Missouri now, as far as I understand, are elk that were born here.
That's great.
Gotcha.
That's
okay.
Great. Yeah, I'm so glad that this has been so successful, and I want to talk to you more. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time on the show. We'll pick this back up in the podcast exclusive, but I want to know how successful the Missouri Department of Conservation has considered this season and if they've announced any plans about expanding the elk season into next year. So we'll have that discussion along with the very important cameo discussion that we're going to have in the podcast exclusive.
It's so important.
Yeah, Tim, only about a minute to go. Tell people how they can watch you on the 100% Wild podcast with Drury Outdoors, Thinking Woodsman podcast. All of that good stuff.
So anywhere podcasts are found, you can search for Drury Outdoors 100% Wild Podcast and the Thinking Woodsman Show. Find both my shows there. The best place to get all of our content, Drury Outdoors, though, is DeerCast. DeerCast.com on your computer, or just get the DeerCast app on your smartphone, and you got everything at your fingertips.
Yeah, absolutely. How much more – is there much more hunting season left this year as far as
– Yeah, archery whitetails goes through January 15th. And then small game, I think squirrels close on February 15-ish. So there's still a little more hunting people can do.
I mean, you can't just kill squirrels anytime you want?
That DeerCast, the DeerCast app, if you're going to be hunting, is a must. It is an absolutely incredible piece of, an assistance that you can take with you when you are hunting. Make sure that you get that if you're going to be enjoying the great outdoors. The DeerCast app is awesome. All right. We got to wrap up this week's show. We'll be back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. For Carl Middleman and Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Happy holidays, and we'll see you next week.
Merry Christmas. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.